the life of so many priests is that we use our phones to assist us in prayer. But I don't think your phone is going to help you so much in this time of talking about prayer and engaging prayer. So I'd invite everybody to put your phones away. It's so often an opportunity for us to sort of be distracted. And we don't want to be distracted as we enter into this talk, this time of prayer. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just take a moment to recognize that we're in the presence of God. The Lord is with us. He's sitting next to us. And he desires to minister to our hearts. Lord, we pray for an openness in our lives that we might experience the closeness of you. We might hear your voice and experience all the fruits that you give to us, peace and hope and joy. We ask that you be with us during this talk, that our hearts might engage and that our minds might remember the points that you desire us to remember. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Lord wants us to elevate our hearts, and we need to learn how to pray. You've chosen well in the talks. I hope that you've chosen well in these talks. And engaging in the gift of prayer is something that leads us really in the beginning to who we are. God created the universe, and he created us. In Genesis chapter 1, we hear God created mankind in his image. He created us to be in relationship with him. He created us, and this is a key word, for intimacy with him. And that word, when that word is spoken, my heart leaps. Intimacy is why we are created. God wants to be in relationship with us to receive his goodness and love. In and through Jesus, we are offered this intimacy. We hear in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This intimacy is given to each and every one of us because we've been baptized. Our faith inserts us into communion with the Holy Trinity. And so then the question becomes, okay, we're called to this intimacy. We're called to a relationship with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What keeps us from this intimacy? And the pretty obvious answer is our sins keep us from the fullness of intimacy the Lord desires with us. And we struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I don't know that you can see these, but I pulled the images off the internet, and I love the little devil there. And that's a real image, you know, sort of the poking and the prodding. We struggle with the world. We struggle against the flesh. And then our main enemy is the devil. The world, money, power, prestige, those are all temptations for us. The flesh, we look for comfort, and that our fleshly desires are sated. And then struggling against the devil, the evil one, fallen angels. The way that we're called to enter into an intimate relationship with God is called prayer. So some key words right now, intimacy, and that intimacy happens in prayer. Prayer, and this is, if you're going to write down notes, if I were the teacher and saying you're going to have the exam, this would be on the exam. Prayer is a personal response to the loving presence of God. That's packed full. It is a personal response to God's loving presence. Prayer is not an intellectual activity, but a personal encounter with the living God. The organ for seeing God is the heart, says Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. The organ for seeing God is the heart. The intellect alone is not enough. Prayer begins when our thoughts move from thinking about God to communicating with Him. It's so easy to engage prayer if it's merely thinking about God. But genuine prayer is encountering the living God, encountering God, His presence. The living out of this intimacy is a type of falling in love. And those who have received a grace or blessing desire to share that love with others. I remember a circumstance in prayer. I was on retreat, and I was engaging the Lord, and I was actually kind of angry at Him. And I put the anger out there. My mother's health was failing, and I was quite angry and said, "Why don't you take care of it?" And in the prayer, I was in an image of the wedding feast of Cana. And Jesus was sitting in a chair right next to me. And as I kind of yelled at Him in the prayer, He turned around and looked at me. And He looked at me in this prayer time so deeply that He looked right through my eyes to my soul. And my response in prayer was that it literally took my breath away. All the air left my lungs because I was being held by the love of Jesus. That's intimacy. That's the gift of prayer. That's something the Lord wants to do with us again and again. And we desire, after we have an experience like that, to share with others so that they too might experience the loving presence of God. Now, we have some challenges in prayer, and this is certainly not big enough for you guys to read so far back, but the challenges I'll read off. And this has to do with, you know, things that are happening today. I've been talking to different teenagers about their experience here. And what's hitting you? What's striking you? And so often it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what's striking me. It's hard to kind of be present in the moment. And so some of the challenges of prayers, we really don't know what prayer is, so we don't know how to pray. Right. That's exactly right. And again, if this were going to be on a test, this is such an important point. And it's not that you can answer it on a test, but that you get it. This is some of the deepest moments of what I'll be talking about today. We don't know what prayer is, so we don't know how to do it. Another challenge of prayer is we lack trust and faith that God really wants to and is going to communicate Himself personally and uniquely to us. So we tend to fill the silence of prayer with stuff, with words and actions. Prayer is not fundamentally an activity that we do, it's fundamentally encountering a person. And finally, one of the challenges of prayer is we're afraid of failing. How was your prayer time? And I'm held accountable. I visit with my spiritual director every 6 weeks, and it's the same kind of thing. Like, I'm in front of him, and he says, "So how's it been going?" And I don't want to get in front of him saying, "I failed." And so the challenge is that I think like, okay, if I go to a prayer time now, I have to do something. I have to accomplish something so I can report back. Oh, prayer, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you what's been going on. I've been doing all these things. And he would stop me and say, "But have you been encountering the living God?" That's the deepest moment. And if we don't know what prayer is, then we don't know how to pray. But that's why you're at this talk. At the end of this talk, hopefully you'll be able to know something about prayer and be able to engage it. At the end of this, we're going to enter into prayer. We're going to practice what we're talking about. There are three aspects of genuine prayer. So the next two things that I'm going to show you, these slides I'll show you, just sort of receive them lightly. There are three aspects of genuine prayer. If prayer is a response to the presence of God, then the beginning of prayer should be really entering into the presence of God or becoming aware of God's presence, which is why I started our time with that prayer saying, let us be aware that God is with us. Not always an easy task, but the moment we try to do that, like try to picture God with us, is itself prayer. God is with us. And our attempt to recognize God with us is itself prayer. So one of the first of the three aspects of genuine prayer is that we focus on God. And then prayer is that we pay attention to what he wants. And finally, prayer is communicating with him. And there's an active as well as receptive element. We speak, but then maybe more importantly, we learn how to listen. That listening part's so difficult. Then the four interior habits of prayer. And you're going to see on there that I have pray like a pirate. So I want everybody to say, arr. Arr. Come on, let's get the pirate going. Arr. A-R-R-R. And so these are four habits of prayer, and you can always be, you know, chuckle inside when you're thinking of these four habits. This you really need to remember. This is leading us, if we follow these habits, we're going to really enter into the opportunity of engaging and meeting God in prayer. We're going to pray like a pirate. R. A-R-R-R. Let's hear it again. Arr, yes, and if you were sleeping before, you're not sleeping anymore, right? There are four interior habits of prayer. Acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. We're going to acknowledge, and this is actually one of the things that's so difficult for us, is acknowledging what's going on interiorly so that we can bring something to prayer. It's not always really clear to us even what we're acknowledging. You know, my questions to the youth in the past couple hours is, what's going on? Where's the Lord speaking to you? And so not just the words and pray like a pirate, but this is so important, I've even got some hand symbols to help us remember. We acknowledge this is what's going on. This is what's going on in my life right now. Relate. I relate it to God. Receive. All of a sudden, it becomes this passive moment. We're receiving from God and then responding. We're ready to take a step forward. We do some action. We've received something from God and we need to act on it. So we acknowledge, relate, receive, and respond. And if you can remember that or pray like a pirate or all of it together, you're going to be better off, because this truly is a segue for us in prayer, and it can happen all the time. We need to acknowledge prayer is a personal response to the loving presence of God. We're communicating with him. It's living an intimate relationship with him. The first moment of prayer is entering into or becoming aware that God is with us, that he's present. In order to grow in this dialogue of intimacy, I have to understand what's happening in my own heart. I have to become aware of my thoughts, my feelings, and my desires. And when I quiz you after this talk, a lot of people come up, oh, that was a great talk. And my typical response is, what was great about it? That joke you told, that story about the thing. We have to actually be aware. The greater thing is actually what you're thinking right now, you're feeling right now, and what you're desiring. Your thoughts, your feelings, and desires are the very grist of prayer, the very thing that we bring to prayer later on. And it needs to be said that you're merely supposed to notice your thoughts, feelings, and desires. I could have a desire inside of me and it might be a really bad desire, a desire to commit a sin. And I might say, boy, I need to push that out of the way. But in fact, if we're living this acknowledge, relate, receive, respond well, I'm not afraid of it. In fact, I take it to Jesus, which might be embarrassing. And that's okay. He knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings. He knows our desires. Well, Lord, this is what I'm desiring right now, and I know it's sinful, and I'm very embarrassed by it. And what we'll find is as we're relating it to the Lord just like that, Lord, here's what's going on, and I'm really embarrassed by it, then what we receive from him could actually surprise us. The Lord accepting us for who we are and where we are. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to acknowledge our thoughts, feelings, and desires and simply notice them. Be aware that they're going on. Now, I'm a slow learner, and I'm a pastor of a parish now in Greeley, Colorado. And I work with the college students there, and they, at the end of Mass each time, sing this beautiful song. And I've sung this song for many years. It's the Salve Regina, a hymn in praise of Our Lady. And when I showed up at this parish and these college students started singing it, inside of me was this fingernails on a chalkboard response. I couldn't believe how bad it was. They sang it like it was a funeral. And so I'd be standing up trying to like smile, and I'm biting my lip. There's blood coming out of my mouth. And then I was like, okay, wow, I got to get over that. The next time I'm at that Mass, same thing. So I was like, all right, I got to change this. Instead of doing prayer, I thought, I need to change this. So I turn on my microphone, and I'm singing really slowly. And they ignored me. They just sang at their own pace. And I'm trying to speed it up and speed it up and speed it up. Nope, they're going to stay slow. Now, I should have recognized that that fingernails on the chalkboard, I should have acknowledged my thoughts, feelings, and desires around it and brought it to prayer. But it took me actually a couple months to do that. And what came of it was incredible. I'll talk about it later. Then we need to relate, acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. We have to relate what's going on inside of us. The Lord is very close. He's the one who is so often inspiring our thoughts, feelings, and desires. The evil one as well can tempt us in our thoughts, feelings, and desires. If we stop at merely acknowledging them, we don't engage them in prayer. We're merely thinking about things. And the invitation instead is to go deeper. We're called to relate these thoughts, feelings, and desires to the Lord. But this is really hard for us. It demands an act of faith. And here are some truths that God is near. It's true that God hears me, that he loves me. He's interested in my life. And that he's going to respond. And as I relate these things to the Lord and believe that he is hearing me and will respond, puts me in a new relationship with him because it's an act of faith. And so finally the Lord, you know, these fingernails on the chalkboard, they wouldn't stop singing it at this dirge pace. I finally was like, maybe I should just bring this to prayer. And I think the Lord was like, oh, after months of this, you finally figured it out. And so I related it to the Lord. I'm having a real tough time with this pace, Lord. We got to pick it up. And then the next action in prayer is the receptivity. And what I received from the Lord was I was actually inspiring that response inside of you. I wanted you to have that response because I'd like to talk about this topic on a much broader scale. And it surprised me. Like, really? Yes. And then he began to lay out this vision for the parish, this vision for the university that shocked me. That's the receptivity. I thought it was just me because they're at this snail's pace during this beautiful song and ruining it, that my response was just a natural thing. But instead, as I brought it to prayer and related it to the Lord, what I received from him was way beyond what I expected. A vision for the parish based on one or a couple elements of what I brought to prayer. Oh my gosh. And so now I'm walking away and I'm talking and sharing the story with people in the parish. This is what the Lord has done and this is what the Lord is doing. And I'm fired up about it. I can't wait to see what he's going to continue to do in my heart and in the hearts of the students and in the hearts of the parishioners. And by the way, I'm going to get teach him how to sing that song at a faster pace. But that's a different thing. Acknowledging, relating, receiving, and then responding. So the receptivity is an important thing, and it's passive. It's not necessarily so easy for us to do. What do we receive? Maybe words from Scripture. Maybe we get a deep sense of peace. Things are going to be okay, or the Lord is with us. Maybe we receive from the Lord consoling memories. He brings up memories from our past and wants us to simply acknowledge them and maybe relate, receive, and respond to those. We can receive counsel from a friend. It's not like our prayer time is limited and outside of that, God can't speak to us. But it might be after our prayer time, a family member loves us or a friend gives us some counsel. Maybe we receive consolation in the sacraments. We go to confession and we receive a consolation from that. Finally, acknowledge, relate, receive, we then respond. The gift that we receive from God then must be lived. And how we live it is interiorly and exteriorly. We must respond. So interiorly, we can affirm, this is what I receive from you, Lord. And if I don't have it all right, help me. Gratitude for what the Lord has done. And then we can rest in what he's given us. And then an exterior response is that we take a step in faith. We choose what God has revealed to us. And then it demands a vulnerability. Now, a really important point is that we bring areas of rest to prayer and areas of resistance. In areas of rest, they might almost naturally go to prayer. We take them to prayer and allow the Lord to love us even more. And that image of the Lord gazing on me in prayer has become fruitfulness in prayer after that. And probably for the rest of my life. It affected me deeply. But an area of resistance is like the fingernails on the chalkboard. And it's not always easy to recognize that that's the very thing of prayer as well. It's kind of easy for that stuff to fly over my head. Or certainly an area of resistance, meaning I'm experiencing this desire to sin. How the heck can that be something for prayer? But what we find is it is fruitful for prayer because we think the topic is right here and the Lord might say, I want to speak about this and bring healing in this area of your life. So we need to be aware that bringing things, acknowledging areas of rest as well as resistance is very important for us. And now we'll talk about some forms of prayer. And this is not an exhaustive list. But in prayer, we can find Mass as a fruitful place where we experience God, that we're close to God. In fact, we are so close to God that we consume his body, blood, soul, and divinity. There's some closeness for you. It's the greatest gift that we have as Catholics. The greatest gift that Christians could ever experience. In fact, it is the greatest gift of the universe, the gift of the Eucharist, and especially our receptivity. Liturgy of the Hours, which a priest prays 5 times a day. Lectio Divina, a prayerful reading of the Sacred Scripture, is another form of prayer. The Examen prayer, which is an Ignatian kind of prayer, helps examine the different moments of the day, and then we do acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. Certainly, singing is a great form of prayer, and it's something that maybe we shine especially brightly, as well as praise and worship here at the conference. Those are genuine moments of prayer where you can, in fact, sort of lose a sense of where you're at because you're swept off your feet by the loving God. Recognize that as prayer and rejoice in that as prayer. Enter into that as prayer. And then praying with the Mass readings, praying the Rosary, Chaplet of Divine Mercy, other devotions, litanies, those are all forms of prayer. Prayer is a response to the loving presence of God in our midst. We enter into that gift of prayer when we simply stop and pay attention. We pay attention to God's closeness. We enter into prayer when we're acknowledging what's going on in our lives, relating it to God. Lord, here's what's going on. I don't understand it. I don't want it. Or, thank you, I love it. Help me enter in more. We're relating it to God, receiving from him, and then responding to what God has given us. Now, we have a couple minutes where I can entertain some questions. We have a microphone set up down here on the floor. And if there are any questions, it's usually, you know, it takes like 1 or 2 questions to sort of break things open. We've only got a couple minutes to do that, and then we're actually going to enter into the gift of prayer. We're going to practice the gift of prayer. So, questions, yeah. Right on the stand, right behind you.
You really didn't talk about the exterior of the last part before you started talking about forms and all of that. You really only talked about the interior.
Okay, exterior. Yeah, taking a step in faith. So, if the exterior response, so acknowledge, relate, receive, respond, I need to respond to the fingernails on the chalkboard thing, taking that to prayer. The Lord has given me something. If all I say is, wow, that was wonderful, thanks, okay, moving on with life, it would be something lost. I need to actually respond in the parish by doing something with what the Lord has given me. And hopefully I'm doing what he wants. I can check back in with him to see if, in fact, I'm following his will for it. So we need to take a step of faith, like what the Lord has given me in prayer is good stuff. I can check in with people. Does this sound right to you? Then we also have to choose what God has revealed to us in prayer. Like, I believe that the Lord has spoken to me, and I choose to believe that he's speaking. And then I have to be vulnerable, be open to what the Lord is saying. It might be a big challenge for me for what I receive. Good. Any other questions? Stay right there. Why don't you just say it to me and then I'll repeat it out loud. What is a novena? How do you pray it? A novena comes from the Latin word for 9. And so it's a prayer that we pray for 9 straight days. And they tend to be powerful because our focus each day, it's sort of like, I don't want to forget a day. We got to go 9 in a row. And so in fact, you could pray a whole lot of different devotions. It would be like a novena of rosaries. I pray a rosary on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and do it for 9 days in a row with a particular prayer intention. So a novena could be, I don't know, you pray 3 Our Fathers every day for 9 days. You pray a rosary every day for 9 days. You pray a devotion to St. Joseph because you need to sell your house. You do it for 9 days in a row. And so that novena element is entering into prayer for a specific intention 9 days in a row. And it, in one sense, you could do any set of prayers for those 9 days in a row. It's that time frame that can be really fruitful for us. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, the question, yeah, that's a fabulous question. How do you know you're actually speaking to God and that you're not just like thinking these thoughts on your own? Well, one of the gifts that we have is we live in community. And we can bounce things off one another. So then the question becomes, well, what if it's inside of prayer and I'm receiving something? I don't know that that's God. Maybe that's just like my thoughts. If we're paying attention in our lives, God knows that this is an issue for us, and he tends to confirm things for us. So it's like the Lord has given me something in the receive element of prayer, and then I'm like, oh, not so sure. That kind of sounds a little weird. But then we pay attention throughout the whole rest of that day. We might find somebody says the exact same thing God does. That happened for me in my vocation. One day, I was a kid, shared a bedroom with my brother. My mom comes into the room, and she says, yeah, this weird thing happened. I was given Holy Communion at the hospital today. Gave communion to a guy, and in the post-communion prayer, he stops, and he looks at me, and he says, one of your sons is going to be a priest. And my response was, it's him. Fast forward a couple years. My brother and I are getting ready to go to bed. My mom walks in. She goes, this weird, really weird thing happened in the hospital today. I gave communion to a guy who doesn't know us. I don't know him. He receives communion. Post-communion time, he looks at me and he says, I'm going to pray that one of your sons becomes a priest. And I remembered the time before and I was like, it's him. That's a confirmation. It's him. Now, that could just be like my mom's interior weirdness going on, my interior weirdness. Fast forward a few years. I had just received Holy Communion. I'm kneeling in the sanctuary, and I look next to me, and kneeling next to me is my brother. And I lean forward and look over. Kneeling next to him is his new wife. And I was like, yeah, no thoughts of anything. Post-communion, and all of a sudden, I start tingling from head to toe. It was the Holy Spirit showed up, and the Holy Spirit kind of leans in and says, this is all that he said. It's not him. So, it's a fabulous question. How do we know if it's us or if it really is the Lord? Be patient with it, you know? Sit on it, chew on it, challenge the Lord. I'm having a tough time hearing you on this. And you'll find that he confirms it, and then might do something fabulous to really confirm it. Good question. Anything else? Yes, last question here. Most powerful prayer and why? It's the Mass. And it's the most powerful prayer because it is the beginning of everything in the spiritual life. What is the Mass? It is Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. It's not like a movie picture of that. It is that. We are mystically made present to Jesus in his one sacrifice. It's not that it's repeated throughout the ages. It's that we're there, mystically. We are made present to the very singular sacrifice of Jesus, which is the beginning of our eternal life. As we die with Jesus on the cross, as we enter into the Mass properly, we are then raised with Jesus, and we ascend to heaven with him. We get a foretaste of what heaven is like every time we go to Mass. And so it truly is the beginning of the spiritual life in every respect. It's the source of our Christian life as well as the summit of our Christian life. So it's the very thing that begins for us the spiritual life, and it will be the last word, the sacrifice of Jesus. As we enter into heaven, that sacrifice goes away and we enter into the heavenly banquet and celebrate the fulfillment of it as we all get to celebrate together as one body, one voice in heaven. It's really the gift for us here, which is the beginning. It's the gift for us here, which gets us to and gives us a foretaste of what lies ahead. Thank you. That was the best question I've heard in a long time. What we're going to do now is we're going to focus on engaging prayer itself. So we're going to begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take a moment. Ask the Lord to reveal his presence in your midst, sitting next to you, but more appropriately, the Lord is in our hearts. He is closer to us than we are to ourselves. And now listen to these words from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." And now I'm going to read it again. Pay very close attention to your heart. If a word or a phrase kind of leaps off the page, that's what you're acknowledging, a thought or a feeling or a desire around a word or a phrase. We're going to start with acknowledge. So simply be aware. Don't make a moral stance. Simply be aware of your thoughts, feelings, and desires. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." Be aware of thoughts, feelings, and desires around a word or a phrase. And acknowledge what it is and try to put words around what your thoughts are. Try to put words around what your feelings are, your desires. Don't make a moral stance. Simply recognize what's going on in your thoughts, feelings, and desires. And now we relate that to the Lord. Lord, we give you this thought, this feeling, this desire, and you can input whatever your thought or feeling or desire is. I give it to you, Lord. Ask that you receive it. I surrender myself to your love, and I ask that you receive me And if my thought or feeling or desire makes me embarrassed, Lord, I ask that you receive that as well. Receive all of me in my weakness, in my goodness. Lord, receive it. And after we relate all of that to the Lord, we receive from him. And so in openness, and you know, as we're teaching you guys in singing and prayer, it's so helpful sometimes to even have your arms open, even your palms facing up and open, just as a physical manifestation of what our hearts really want to do is be open to God. Lord, we ask that you reveal yourself to us, speak to us. Lord, we ask that we might be open to receive from you whatever you've got. And maybe there's some questions that remain, not sure really how to receive, or if what we're hearing from the Lord or what we're sort of inspired to think is right. We can take that back to prayer and check in with the Lord again and again. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Teach us how to live that gift in our lives now. And maybe what you got from the Lord is an encouragement to go to confession. Maybe what you got from the Lord is a scripture passage. Following up on that is an important thing. Maybe what you receive from the Lord is simply a peace, a sense of his presence in your midst. That's something that you should actually engage and allow that. Like, take that to prayer again today. Take it to prayer tonight. Simply receive his peace, his joy, and his love. That's how we can respond to the Lord. And as I hear this passage, what draws my attention to it is sitting on the shore. On that day, Jesus went out and sat by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And in my prayer, the image that I got was not me standing on the shore, but actually sitting on the shore, on the sand, and kind of playing with the sand in front of me, front row seat. And the feeling for that, the desire that came from that, is a desire that I want to listen to him better. I'm not good. I get distracted so easily. I have a desire, however, to be that person on the shore, to listen to his teaching. And I relate that to the Lord. I give you my desire. I want to be fulfilled in that desire. I want to be a better listener. I want to receive your word. And what I get from him is a real deep sense of peace. And in one sense, I could immediately jump in my intellect and think, oh my gosh, okay, so what does this peace mean? How do I live this peace? No, just stop. Live that peace. Just stay there. Just remain. Abide. And then the acting out, the doing of that is simply staying in prayer. This is something that we can do again and again. Pray like a pirate. Acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. That's the gift. The way that we live that gift is recognizing how very close God is to us. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's encountering the living God who's in our midst. Now, the truth is, if you're engaged in this on any level, you've received, even during this talk, thoughts and feelings and desires. You can take all of that to prayer. You could do it now, you could do it later. But be aware now for the rest of your weekend what your thoughts are, what your feelings are, what your desires are. Lord, I desire to encounter you tonight in the Eucharist. I desire, Lord, to be present tonight during adoration, that I might come face to face with you, that I might experience you in a new way. That's my desire. And I'm going to put that before the Lord. Be aware of what your thoughts, feelings, and desires are. Relate them to God. Then be very open to how he wants to respond, what you need to receive from him. And then respond to him in an appropriate way. Lord, we thank you for this time together, that we have engaged in prayer, that we have encountered you in a new way in prayer. We pray, Lord, that we might be very attentive to areas in our hearts where we find rest and where we find resistance. Help us be aware of our thoughts, our feelings, and desires. Help us to acknowledge them, relate them to you, receive from you that we might respond through Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.